call the 40th Anniversary Convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois to order. Good morning, Federationists. Leanne is chomping at the bit to give away that $50, so do it quick, Leanne. You can do Chang. Chang works fine. Chris Binkowski. Chris, I knew wearing that tie was going to work today. He was here.
Standing in the front aisle.
Chris, talk to me. I hear you now.
He said just give me the mic.
Yeah, right, there you go.
That was donated by George and Linda Villa. Thank you much. Dave Meyer.
Is there any way that the sound can be turned up at all?
We're working on it.
I'm not waiting any longer, Dave. It'll... Whoa! You really glad you requested that one? Not sure if you really want that one. All right, is it better? All right, everybody who comes up needs to eat the microphone. Okay, it's the only way it's going through quickly. All right. Let me have your attention for a minute. I've asked representatives from local political offices to come in and talk to us. I'm diverting from the agenda just a bit because they've been very patient with us. We are starting a little bit late. So I am going to put on for welcome remarks, as in this is the welcome to the district item on your agenda. And I'm going to start with Kathy Meltzer, who's from Congressman Dugan's office.
Good morning. Good morning. What a wonderful group this is. I would like to welcome everyone to the 79th Legislative District on behalf of State Representative Lisa Dugan. She asked on her behalf if I would talk about a couple of pieces of legislation that they've been working on in the 95th General Assembly. And then she wrote a letter that she would like me to read to you at the end. So we welcome you. We hope you enjoy your time here. The first piece of legislation that I'm going to read to you is House Bill 3508. And that bill says, many visually impaired persons are residents of Illinois' nursing homes and long-term care facilities. House Bill 3508, now law, creates the Consumer Choice Information Reports Program in Department of Aging's Ombudsman's Office. The program aims to bring transparency and accountability to the selection process of long-term care facility for potential residents and their families without burdening facilities. This program includes the creation and dissemination of a consumer choice report to inform residents of their options. The program also includes the creation of an internet website and database to help families make informed decisions on long-term care. The long-term care that provides facility information, quality of life, safety and security, quality of care, and Department of Public Health survey information. That bill became public act on 8/14 of 08. The other bill is Senate Bill 3039. That creates the Blind Vendors Act. It contains statements of intent, creates the business enterprise program for the blind under which priority is given to blind vendors in the operation of vending facilities on state property. Tie-bid preference is given to blind vendors in the operation of state property. Contains provisions regarding the duties of the Department of Human Services vending facilities on federal property, commissions from vending facilities not operated by blind vendors. Department of Human Services for blind vendors, deductions, vending machine income, compliance and enforcement licenses, election powers, and duties of the Committee of Blind Vendors, hearings, arbitration, administration of the Act, personnel, records and disclosure, reports and surveys, and other matters. Repeals the Blind Persons Operating Vending Facilities Act. This bill has been introduced, and the legislators in both the House and the Senate are still working on it. And I'm going to read a letter that the representative asked me to read to you that will also inform you of some other things that have been done at the state capitol. As technology advances, so do the ways and means by which businesses are able to serve persons with disabilities. I would like to take this opportunity to share with you some of the ways we are increasing accessibility options for persons with disabilities at the state capitol. The House and Senate have worked together to address the needs of visitors with disabilities. The Illinois General Assembly website has a new feature to help direct users to accessibility services for the visually impaired, people with hearing loss and mobility needs. To better serve the needs of the visually impaired, a House and Senate calendar and committee schedule is printed daily in Braille and large print. Copies of legislation can also be requested. People with hearing loss will also have greater accessibility in the Capitol. A first-floor committee room is equipped with closed caption screening for events like the State of the State Address or joint committee hearings. A request can be made for an interpreter, communication access real-time transcription services, and assisted listening devices. In addition, entrances throughout the Capitol are equipped with push-button accessibility to make it easier for persons with wheelchairs or other mobility devices to enter and exit. There are also designated areas in the committee rooms and chambers for seating. A handicapped accessible terminal is also available for those who wish to access the internet. All of the services mentioned can be accessed by contacting the House Clerk's office, and for more information, you can also visit the website at www.ilga.gov and select the ADA link. Sincerely, Lisa Dugan, State Representative, 79th District. So again, on behalf of State Representative, who is very sorry that she could not be here, but unfortunately had circumstances that called her out of town, I welcome you to the area. I hope you enjoy your stay and certainly enjoy your conference. Thank you.
Kathy, we thank you for your time. Now, Mr. Pulliam was up here earlier. He actually heads that business enterprise program that you're talking about in the second bill. I don't know where you are, Raven. Talk to me now.
Yes.
Okay. So he's here, and we're glad to have him. We're glad to have the bill proposed. And we sincerely appreciate these representatives, especially in election year, sending people to our convention. It shows that they do value the blindness community and would be here if they could. So without further ado, I'm going to give you Marilyn Turner, who's from Debbie DeFrancisco Halverson's office. I knew I was going to do that.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Excuse me. Thank you so much for having us here today. I want to thank you for the opportunity this morning to just say welcome to the 48th District, to the Kankakee County area. I'm here as the Chief of Staff for Senator Debbie Halverson, who truly regrets not being here to share this convention with you today. Nonetheless, we're here to say that we hope that you have a great conference, that your stay here in the Kankakee area has many, many of the things that you're here to see today. As I look at your theme, I was excited to learn transforming lives yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That is what we all should be about, transforming the lives of the people in our community, transforming the lives and the people we serve. I work for a legislator who truly cares. And with that, I would like to welcome you all to call our office if you'd like at any point in time. I specifically looked at your website and learned that this organization is not just 40 years old. It's 50,000 plus members strong. That has to feel real good to you, to know that you serve and are members of an organization with 700 chapters. My goodness, I looked at that and thought, that is what we should all be about. Becoming members of organization that can take our issues and keep it in the forefront of our policymakers. I'm sure when your organization plays a call to a policymaker, they should be concerned, 50,000 members. I was very, very, very proud to learn that. Again, the mission, your objectives, advocating for people with disabilities. We all have one disability or another. I was speaking to a group of principals day before yesterday, and I reminded them that there are still unidentifiable disabilities. At least you have an organization that stands for the ones you need. And for that, I welcome any of your members to call our organization, our offices. I'd like to take a minute just to ask if Brian Turner is here this morning.
He has passed away. He had been the leader. I'm the leader now, Bill Isaacs.
He passed away. Bill Isaacs is
now the chapter leader. Oh, Bill, good morning. I was reading your newsletter from September, and it said that you took awareness to the schools in the 111, District 111. And I was very excited about that you were able to take education and awareness to school children who really need to know of the issues confronted. You know, we look at disabilities and just disregard it. Most of us that have the ability to just go on about our daily lives. But bringing that education to where it's needed most, at that young age, that children will have the ability to learn about your needs and the issues you confront on a daily. I mean, I apologize that I didn't. I asked earlier if Brian was here, and no one told me that he had passed away, so my condolences. I'm sure he was a very strong leader. Again, I would like to just thank you for having us. Senator Halverson sends her best regards, and our doors are open to your needs and your concerns. Thank you for having me.
Brian was indeed an awesome leader in this area.
And that deserves a door prize.
Well, let me thank Marilyn first.
Okay.
And then I'll put you on.
Thank you.
Marilyn, sincerely, thank you for coming. Thank you for presenting. And send our thanks to the senator. I know she's in the midst of a big election. I know you probably have five other things you have to do today. So we really appreciate being here. Can we give her a big hand?
Yay!
Okay, Leanne.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, I have a talking watch with four alarms on it, and that's going to go to Annette Grove from our Four Rivers chapter. This is donated by Bob Woodman from our Chicago chapter board.
I'm going to do the moment of silence, and then I'll put you in.
Okay, so
in
your
2 minutes.
Okay,
that works. You know what? I was readjusting. Who did that go to? Annette Grove.
Yay.
All right.
Wow, lucky.
Now, I'm going to get serious here for a minute. We have a tradition of beginning our conventions with a moment of silence for those who have those members who have passed away during the last year. We are fortunate that this year they have been few, but they are important and valued members of the Federation, and we were genuinely saddened by their passing. So I'd like a moment of silence for Della Cook from Chicago, Larry Bickham from Chicago, a past state president, Alan Schaefer from the Blackhawk chapter, and also from the Blackhawk chapter, William Black. Ouch. Ouch. All right. Now, y'all have figured out that we're in Bradley, and that's near Kankakee, so I'm going to ask Bill Isaacs to give us a few words from his chapter. So Bill Isaacs is the president of our local chapter here. Bill.
Okay, right here. Okay. Got it. Okay. Good morning. And it's good to have you here in our beautiful part of the state of Illinois. Really, with a quad city here. We think a quad city way out on the Mississippi, but there's one here, too. Verbenay and Bradley are north of Kankakee, but they bump up against it, and southeast is the Roma Park. So with Kankakee, that makes four the quad cities. The local chapter, the Kankakee Heartland chapter, was officially established in 89, but before that, back in the 70s, Carl Miller established a little group called Visions Unlimited after about 73, I think. And after a couple of years, he kind of grew weary of having to plan all the programs and things. So he shopped around and he found the National Federation of the Blind, and Rami Ravi and others came down from Chicago, and we established a four-county group known as the Prairie State chapter. After about 15 years or so, my wife and I, we had a van, but we kept loading up so many people to take to Dwight or to Grundy or up to Grundy County or to Will County, and got to be kind of burden. More people wanted to go than we had room. So we decided to start our own chapter, and that was in 89. And we have many members. We meet on the first Saturday of every month, and this Saturday in November we're having the quiet car emphasis, and somebody with a quiet car is going to let us hear it and hopefully take a ride and see what it's really like, and we're going to have some be talking about it too ahead of time. And then on December the 1st we'll be having a Christmas party. We haven't found the location yet, but that is our plan for December. And we welcome you all here, and we trust you have a good day, and the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, very much. We're glad to be in your town. I'm hoping that we get lots of new people who came to our convention and will now join that chapter. What would you like, Leanne?
Yes. I have a $20.
Couldn't possibly.
$20 from the Kankakee Heartland chapter.
Oh, $20 from the Kankakee chapter. That would be appropriate right now.
You want to grab me a name, Denise?
Denise gets to draw the name. I'm still voting for Chang here.
I know.
But we could do Riccobono, too.
Is it Julietta Meyer? Is that right?
Meyer. Which Meyer?
Julietta.
Julietta Meyer.
Julia Meyer, not in the
room.
Not
yet, draw again.
Yep. All right. Emma Meyer.
Emma Meyer.
She'd be in kid camp.
I don't know. Hang on, because here's the situation. If someone is either working kid camp or in kid camp, they will get the door prize.
Right.
So, is Julia Chang in the room?
No.
Francisco?
Oh.
Can you please go down to Delta, see if Emma Meyer is in Delta? If she's not, gotcha. That prize goes again. If she is, she gets it. Thank you. Oh, she's not. Draw again.
Well, I think this person's in the room. Dave Meyer. Oh,
David. Dave Meyer.
Mix them up.
Shake
them up. Shake it up.
Meyer, Meyer, Meyer. And they're not even the same family, you guys.
That's crazy.
They're not even the same family. I see Kelly has joined us. And as usual, Kelly is ahead of the game.
Yes.
Next on our agenda is a fundraising tool that Dr. Jernigan taught us. I was not present, but the story goes something like this. Somebody was whining, if you will, about how hard it was to earn money and how hard it was to raise money. And Dr. Jernigan said, well, I don't know that it should be all that difficult. Give me 15 minutes and I'll show you how to do it. So Kathy Randall, who is our development chair, is going to be Dr. Jernigan this morning, and she's going to run the 15 for funds. Kelly, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I figured you were.
Thank you. 15 minutes, Kathy, on the clock. Once you hit that mic, it's on the podium.
Yeah.
On the left of the podium. Be careful.
Got it. Okay, Madam President, thank you. I love being Dr. Jernigan. I can't think of anything that's more rewarding to try to do. Okay, we have 15 minutes. Let's go, guys. We really need to raise as much as we can for our programs. And I don't think I better take time to talk about programs. Let's just raise some money. $500. Let's start there. Who is willing to give $500, $500, $500 to the affiliate? I know one person who is. Any others? Kathy Randall will pledge, Madam Treasurer, $500, probably to be a stock donation. We'll discuss that at the next board meeting. We'll discuss that at the next board meeting. Okay, Kathy's giving a donation, and it will be, you know, up to the correct value. You might want to sell it real fast. Real fast. Anyway, $500. Any other donations of that amount from anybody? $450? Give me $450. I wish I knew how to do that roll the auctioneers do. $400. Can I go faster? Okay. 300. 300. Give me $300. $300. $300. $300. Come on. Yes. Is that?
That's
Punch. Thank you very much, Francisco Chang. $300. Is it a pledge or cash? Check.
Check.
Thank you, Punch. $300 from the Changs, thank you very much. Any other $300 donations? Kankakee Heartland Chapter.
I said
300, Bill. Okay. Othman. Okay, Ronza, thank you very much. $300 pledge. Any other $300 pledges? We're holding on to Kankakee Heartlands until we go down to that amount, okay? Any other $300 pledges or gifts, checks, everything, whatever? $300. $250. Help, people, help! Don't sink me up here. $250. $225. $200. Yay, Kankakee Heartland Chapter. Is this a check? Mr. Isaacs, check from the Kankakee Heartland Chapter to the NFB of Illinois. Thank you very much. Other $200 donations, please.
Dylan. Barry Greenwald.
Mary Grunewald. Is that a pledge? $200 pledge from Mary Grunewald. Did I hear George?
No, yes.
George Villa, is that?
$200 from George and Linda Villa. Check in hand.
$200 check in hand from George and Linda Villa. Thank you very, very much. $200 from the Villas. Other $200 donations, please.
Stein.
Debbie Stein. Pledge check?
Check.
Check. Debbie, thank you very much. $200 from Debbie Stein. Gosh, we appreciate this. $200, $200, $200. Come on, guys. Pam and Don Gilmore. Thank you.
$200 pledge.
Thanks, Pam. $200 pledge. That is awesome. That's Madam President's favorite word. I like it, too. Awesome. $200, $200, $200. Thank you, Pam and Don, very much. Other donations. Other donations. Other $200 donations.
$175.
$150.
Joe Monte.
$100 from Mary and Joe. Is that cash?
Cash.
And
$50.
And what was the other? Who was giving the other part of the donation?
Our cats.
The cats. Oh my God. We're back to the cats. Thank you, Joe. Any other $150 donations? $150 donations from anybody else? $150. Carmen?
Pledge
$150. Thank you. Stupendous.
All right, two words.
As one of my McMurray buddies would say, that's excruciatingly wonderful. John does this all the time. Thank you, Carmen. Any other $150 gifts? $150 gifts.
$140.
Cool. Step me up. Move it back up.
Just for fun. 40 for the next year. 40 years.
Oh, cool, Annette. Yay. That's a great McMurray College alum there, I'll tell you what. Whoa, is this cash or
check.
What? Check. Thanks. Check. Thanks, Annette. Yay. Whoa. Okay. $140, $125. You can give us as much as you want, you know, guys. You can give us a lot more. Okay. She's getting me rattled up here. $125, I think, is where we were. But Annette took me up to $140. See, Pat. Now, for good reason. Okay, other $125 donations. $125.
Whitman. Howdy, how are you?
Yay.
$125 pledge.
Thank you, sir. Pledge.
I want to hear the history, Bob.
Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, you got to tell us how you got there. We know there's a story.
No story this year.
Oh.
I lost track. I gotta refigure it again. Next year, I'll tell you.
He'll write it all out, so he'll have it with him next year. Okay. Wow. Okay. Other $125 donations. $100 donations. Denise Savant, $100 pledge. Denise, thank you very much. Yay. Pardon?
Bill and Ruth Isaacs.
$100. Check. Ooh, wonderful. Thank you very much, Isaacs. Whoa, awesome. Awesome.
Black Hawk Chapter,
$100. Oh,
Nancy.
Thank you. Cash. Cash. We like cash. We need to bring people to our activities, and this is what it takes. It takes this money to do this. $100 donations, others from Kelly. From you, Kelly?
No.
Okay, for Kelly Doty, I presume it's a check, knowing my friend the treasurer here.
Thank you, Kelly, very much.
Kathy?
Yes.
Orvers Chapel will donate $100.
Wow. Oh, Brian Sumner, $400 from the Four Rivers Chapter.
Getting we'll get it. We'll have a check for you.
Okay, thank you. We'll get that to Kelly. Thank you, Brian, very much. Okay, other checks, other donations for $100.
Dave Wright, $100 by next chapter meeting.
David Wright, $100 by the next chapter meeting. And I bet Madam Treasurer will hold you to that. Thank you, David. All right, that's awesome. That's great. Other $100 donations. $100, $100, $100, $100, $100, $100. Joe, am I doing okay? Joe holds me to very high standards here. $100. $100. $75. Give me $75. $50. $50. Charlene Elder. Debbie Pittman. Now, Charlene, is that a pledge of check? Pledge for Charlene. Pledge for Charlene. And now, Debbie Pittman. Did you say pledge? It is hard to hear up here. Pledge from Debbie Pittman. Thank you, Debbie and Char.
Ken Shedd from Chicago, $50 pledge.
Ken Shedd, $50 pledge.
Hey, Kenny.
Oh.
David and Teresa Meyer, $50 pledge.
David and Teresa Meyer, $50 pledge.
Minkowski family, $50.
Oh, Minkowski family. Thank you. Thank you very much. $50 pledge? That's awesome. Great. Thank you.
Maine.
Leanne Maine.
In memory of all my lost ones, Riley, Trevor, Michael, $50 pledge.
$50 pledge. Oh, thank you, Leanne.
Hostalis.
Steve Hostalis.
$50 paid.
$50 paid. Kelly Hazard. Wow, thank you, Steve. Other $50 donations. $50. $50.
Camino family.
Oh, thank you. What is that? A pledge?
Cash?
Yes. Cash, okay.
Thank you
very much. Okay. Other donations? 50? Any other $50 donations? 25?
Yeah.
25.
Oliver Randall?
Yes, sir.
All right, the Glickmans have been members of the organization for 33 years. Accordingly, we will send you a check.
Make it as a pledge.
A pledge from Roberta and Alan Glickman. Thank you. Hi, Mark. $33?
Yes, ma'am.
$33 for their 33 years as members. Mark Riccobono. Thank you, Alan.
I will give $40 for the 40th anniversary, and I will give another $40 to 10 other people.
Whoa, we've got a matching development thing here, gang. Come on, let's go. Patrick Olson, $40.
That's one.
Is that a pledge, Patrick?
No,
cash.
Cash, excuse me, cash. Pat Olson, $40. That's two.
Okay, Eileen Trushke. $40 cash in hand.
Eileen. Thank you, Eileen Toshke. Hey, David Meyer.
Viking misses the convention this year. the first one is missed for the last 10, honestly. And he wishes to give $40 on the convention.
Who are the...
Okay.
Yeah. Are we missing anybody?
Yeah.
Who?
Roseanne Brogus, $40 special.
Cassandra?
Roseanne.
I'm sorry, Roseanne.
Scholarship winner.
Yes. Thank you.
That's fine. Were Eileen's a pledge?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm not getting.
Okay.
If anybody on the internet wants to get in on this, you can email to Byron at byronlee.com, and we will relay, B-Y-R-O-N at B-Y-R-O-N-L-E-E.com.
Great.
Mark, thank you. What a wonderful tool.
Bill Reeves pledges $40.
Do we need three more? Mark, how many?
We've got five or six.
We need four more.
Kathy?
Yes. She will too, boy. Wow, that's a pledge. That's seven. Three more. Gardeners, $40. It's a check. Gardeners, $40. That's eight.
Two more, guys.
Two more.
Howard Wilson, $40.
Howard Wilson.
Pledge.
$20, Howard?
$40.
All right. $40. Thank you, Howard. Very good. That's awesome.
Joseph Vine, $40 cash.
Wow. Made the music of the night, now we're getting musical money. Cool. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Elaine. Who else? Any other? Is that 10?
Yeah.
Nope.
Work it over, Mark.
She's got the money.
Cool. Hey, thank you for a new development tool for me. A new development tool. I love it. This microphone keeps shrinking or something.
It's way down there.
Okay, I'm running out of time. I've got to give up the podium. I don't want to. Any other pledges or donations for smaller amounts? You know, every bit counts. $10, $5, $15, we'll take anything. $1, $2, da-da-da-da-da-da. Really helps us. Kelly's doing her math over here to let us know how our totals are coming. Thanks to everybody who's taken part. It's been fun to be Dr. Jernigan. Wow. Can I be Dr. Jernigan next year, too? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's true. We'll see. I think. We'll still take money. We're in the money. Anybody else? Any other donations?
2 minutes. Give it to me.
Donations from the floor. Donations from the floor. Donations from the floor. 20s, 10s, 5s.
Touchdown.
Draining money from members.
We have a $50 pledge from Connie Davis via the internet.
Our co-newsletter editor, Connie, thank you. $50 pledge, fabulous. That's awesome. Wow.
And we have some lemon pledge via the internet relay chat.
Yes, sir. What? When our mathematicians have done all their fancy work over here, they'll let us know what we've raised this morning. Madam President, I think I can give you the mic and give a little time back to you.
Yep. Thank you.
I got her. And incidentally, thank you, Kathy. You did a wonderful job, as always. You know, we really, our fundraising is divided into two avenues. One is the general fund. That's what Joe Monte chairs. And the other is grants and development. Kathy chairs that one. We can't do any of this without the fundraising. So thanks to everybody who pledged. Thanks to Kathy for what she does. Thanks to Joe for all that money that comes into the general fund, unrestricted, so we can spend it on what we need to spend it on. We will still take pledges from the internet because there's a little bit of lag time. So let us know if we get any more. Do we have total chat?
No.
Let me know. All right. That's fine. We'll wait. We'll wait. I can wait for good news. I can wait for good news. Now. You know what, Leanne? That's perfect timing because I gotta look at my agenda. Can't remember what I'm supposed to do next.
Okay, I was riding here. I have some bags, some little figurine type banks, and I have some assorted chocolates. And they'll go to. Grab one.
While they're drawing, I'm gonna need also Ryan Strunk to come up to the podium.
Caitlin Ryan,
you in the room?
No.
Do it again.
All right. Oh, well, she's in the room. Carmen Dennis.
Carmen Dennis. Carmen, where are you? Okay. You got it. You want to do one more here, Leanne?
Of course I do, Madam President.
Please do.
I've got a crock pot, and also there's a couple of books inside with us that were donated to the Gilmores, and that's going to go to
Nicoletta Meyer.
Nicoletta Meyer. What is it with the Meyers?
Kick it up.
All right. We have another name here.
It's another Meyer.
It sure is. Raymond Meyer.
Oh, take it up.
All right. What? All right. Well, we know Roberta Reif.
Roberta Reif. She may be in town here. I don't have a schedule. Does somebody have? She's not. Okay, next.
All right. Next name. Oh. We know this person is in the room. Patty Chang.
Oh, finally! This is my third convention, and I've been saying Chang all the way through all three. It's the first time I got a door prize. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't draw the turkey roaster for you.
What'd I get?
Well, you didn't get a turkey roaster.
Oh, good. Because I think I donated the turkey roaster.
Yes, ma'am, you did.
That'd be pretty funny if I won that back. All right. All right. We are very pleased to have with us this weekend a national rep. And we did request Mark as one of our national reps. I'm allowed to send names, and then Mark Maurer sends me who he wants, but he does take into account what we want. We did put Mark Riccobono on our list. He is the head of the Jernigan Institute, and in particular of all the youth development that we've been doing, I thought it was especially appropriate to have Mark with us. Now, you'll hear more about him and more from him at the banquet, but right now I'm going to put him on for a report from the national scene.
All right, excellent. Good morning. It is truly a pleasure to be here, and I was thinking back, when I got assigned to this convention, I didn't think about it at first, but you know, I was here for the 30th anniversary. I believe that was in Champaign, right? Champaign, is that where that convention was? And I had just, that was a week or two after I had just become elected president of the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin. So it is wonderful to be back here with my colleagues, my brothers and sisters in Illinois. And I send greetings to you from our president, Dr. Mark Maurer, and all the staff, really, at the National Center for the Blind. There is a lot to tell you about the national scene, and of course it starts right here. You know that we are a very dynamic, flowing organization. We are not just a national organization. We would not be a national organization without you, without the local chapters, the affiliates, the divisions of the National Federation of the Blind, the individual members. And so everything that there is to talk about in the national report really relates to you and what you're doing at the grassroots level. And we have seen a lot of that already in the convention, in the resolutions, and this morning in the student meeting with all of the wonderful work that's been going on here. And there are many pieces that are interconnected. And there's probably no more important piece to start with in terms of what's happening on the national scene than our National Braille Readers Are Leaders literacy campaign that we launched this year at our national convention. And we truly have launched a campaign that is going to be the biggest and the most aggressive assault on the Braille literacy crisis ever. And we have stated some very lofty goals. Lofty when you consider that the literacy rate today is still what was reported in the 1980s, and we did a whole lot of work in the 1990s to make changes. So to really make changes, we need a big campaign. And as you know, because of all your work and the folks across the country, we were successful in getting the U.S. Congress to agree to mint in 2009 the Louis Braille commemorative silver dollar, which I hope all of you are prepared to buy one. We don't know when it's going to come out yet, but the important thing about that coin is that it is going to make available, when we sell all 400,000 coins, it will make available $4 million for Braille literacy. And we will have to match that $4 million. And we'll have to figure out ways to fundraise it, and that's what we're going to do. But what are we going to do with the $4 million? Well, we're here at the 40th anniversary of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. By the 75th anniversary of the National Federation of the Blind, we have committed that the literacy rate for blind children in this country will be double what it is today. That will not be the end, but we will double it, and it will take some effort to do that. That will enact legislation in every single state to truly ensure that teachers, professionals dealing with blind children are truly competent in Braille and have had the highest level of training possible to provide Braille instruction. And we talked about that yesterday in the National Certification for Literary Braille. Those two items are fairly significant. We've also committed to expand the availability of Braille. But more importantly, and very difficult, is to create widespread awareness about what Braille is, how important Braille literacy is in the lives of blind people. And the only way to do that is for each and every one of us to get motivated and care about Braille literacy, which I know all of you do. We have to be thinking about it. We have to be mobilizing all of our energy in that direction. And everything that we do has to connect to Braille literacy. The first big thing that we need all of you to do is go to Braille.org. Get your friends to go to Braille.org to sign up for our exclusive campaign list. We need to build a list of supporters for Braille literacy that's huge. We want to get everybody on this list that we can think of. Anybody who's willing to say, yes, I think this is important. These are important goals. Because as we roll out the campaign and as we roll out new initiatives, we need to be able to communicate that to folks. Our outreach will become vitally important. Imagine this. Imagine a day in 2009 when a million Braille alphabet cards get handed out in one day by blind people all across the country. Imagine the change in Braille literacy. Imagine the change in understanding that we can create. We are working on these types of programs and in many ways are connecting and mobilizing all of our efforts toward Braille literacy. We just had a gathering earlier this month at the National Center to talk about creating an assessment. There are a number of assessment tools related to Braille literacy. However, there is not an assessment tool that does what we want it to do, which is presume that a blind child gets Braille. Now, if Braille is determined not to be the best medium, or if Braille and print together are the best, that's wonderful. But the law says, and we fought for this, right, that Braille is the default. So shouldn't that be what the assessment tools say? Those are the types of things we're working on in Braille literacy, and we really need your support. So we want you to go to braille.org and get excited about our Braille Readers Are Leaders literacy campaign. Of course, the National Federation of the Blind is always very active and engaged in legislation. And this year has been no different for us. At all levels, local, state, and national, we continue to fight to preserve the right of blind people in all areas and to lead the way in creating new opportunities and protecting our right to live in the world independently. And there's no other issue in the last year that has really taken hold and finally gotten traction than the issue of quiet cars. And I think it's appropriate to take a moment to really thank Debbie Kent Stein for being a local grassroots leader in this issue across the country. You know, we've been talking about this, it seems like, forever. And we really have finally begun to get a foothold in this territory and now have a three-prong approach going on. One is, as you heard yesterday at Resolutions, we want states to start introducing laws, getting state legislatures interested, engaged in the conversation. You know, the media loves to talk about this issue. People haven't thought about it. In Maryland, we've been successful in getting a task force created to discuss the quiet car issue. That's huge. We're going to be able to have an influence over that process. And all of that really impacts our efforts to have federal legislation adopted. And as you know, this year, we were able to get a bill adopted into the Congress, H.R. 5734, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008. Now, of course, the legislative session has come to an end, but that's a huge step. We made it up to 81 co-sponsors of that legislation, and that is absolutely a success. We're also working, besides at the state level and on the national level in legislation, and of course, always on awareness, we're working very actively in engaging in the regulatory process and learning about and informing the automotive industry, and even on the international level. You know, we have now presented to the International Standards Body on this issue. The National Federation of the Blind was the early and most insistent on this issue. And everybody's on board now. And that is wonderful, because in order to truly craft a solution and get some action on this, we really do need everybody's support across the field of blindness and even broader than that. So continue to be vigilant on that issue at the local and national level. Last thing I want to talk about legislatively, well, two things actually. One is, of course, we continue to work very aggressively in Congress to improve the incentives offered in the Social Security Act to incentivize work for blind people. We will continue to do that, and we're right now reformulating our strategy for 2009. Don't we always? Haven't we been saying that for about a decade now? But there really are some opportunities, and we really do need to keep working on this issue, because there are some disincentives. We all know it. We all know people in our chapters. We all have blind friends. Maybe they're not even engaged in the Federation. We know what the disincentives are. Randolph Shepherd was mentioned earlier, and we continue to be very active at the national level. We spearheaded efforts to create the Blind Entrepreneurs Alliance to really see if we can modernize Randolph Shepherd and promote 21st century opportunities in that program, the most successful employment program for blind people ever. We continue to be vigilant on that front. And lastly, books on time, an extremely important issue. You know, we've been successful in getting legislation to ensure, hopefully ensure that kids, when they show up on the first day of school, get their books on time. They're not getting their books on time. They're still not getting their books on time. We need to be vigilant about this. We have set up tools at the national level so people can submit their stories, and we need you to encourage people to continue to let us know what is actually happening. This is a serious problem, and we need to figure out the tools to fix it. And we may need to figure out more aggressive tools to fix it, because kids still are not showing up getting their books on the first day of school. And as you know, we're working to expand this to higher education as well, and we've been very successful in getting the first step on that road, which is to create a commission to study this problem and create some legislative actions nationally to solve it. So that's coming in higher ed, and that is a very successful win for us. Hopefully all of you are planning, thinking about getting involved at the national level in our legislative efforts and coming to our Washington seminar in 2009. Anybody going to be there?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Well, you know, our Washington seminar is going to be kicked off this year on Sunday, February 8th. And it's a little bit later than usual because of the inauguration and all those sort of things. Please make your plans to come, be with us, be a part of the voice of articulating to our national legislators the voice of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. You know, our reach in the National Federation of the Blind is deep, and we've been transforming lives for a long time. And our roots, our advocacy roots, are absolutely a part of that. And this fall, we've been able to revisit our advocacy roots a little bit. We've had the largest protest ever by the blind of a nation on one day in 72 different cities. You know, we absolutely support freedom of speech, but we don't think that other people's freedom of speech precludes our freedom of speech. And so we had a national protest of the movie Blindness. And on October 3rd, the movie Blindness opened in 1,650 theaters. And we had protests in 72 cities, probably one of the most successful public relations efforts ever for the National Federation of the Blind. You probably saw it covered everywhere. Today, 2 weeks later, Blindness is only showing in 35 theaters across the country. You know, Newsline has been a very popular service that we've grown for over a decade now. And we're up to 264 newspapers, number of magazines, as you know, television listings. Over almost 63,000 people are using Newsline across the country. We need to keep expanding that. 2.6 million minutes of news are distributed every month, and 100,000 newspapers via email. And I want to commend our leaders in Illinois and all of our Newsline supporters for doing a wonderful job of building up our local channel here in the state of Illinois. And that is an important resource. With just a couple of weeks to go until our national elections, I should mention that, of course, all the position papers of the presidential candidates and their running mates are up available on Newsline, so you can access them. This is information that's been taken right off of the internet, right off of their web pages and their words. And so everybody who has access to Newsline has access to voting information and what the candidates are saying about their position, and please be active in the voting process. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. You know, our National Center for the Blind is a symbol and really an action point for us across the country. It's a very impressive place because we've built it, the Blind of America. It seems like we're always remodeling at the National Center for the Blind. As someone who works there on a daily basis, something's always happening. And you know, this is the 30th anniversary. Speaking of anniversaries, we bought our entire city square block in 1978. And so we're doing a lot of work now to replace work that we did 30 years ago. We've been replacing a lot of carpeting in the original building, and we upgraded our kitchen facility, which you'll want to see. We have truly a world-class kitchen facility. You know, when we started at the National Center for the Blind, we have a little video on our website about this. You can hear Dr. Jernigan say that he's looking forward to having seminars and serving 10 and 20 and 30 people for leadership seminars. You know, last summer, our wonderful staff served a dinner at the end of our youth slam for 300 people. They served it in a kitchen that was meant for 20 and 30 people. Now we truly have a kitchen facility where we can serve 300 people, and that is a tremendous asset for us. We're working right now on putting a new roof on the original building. Some of us think there's actually a bowling alley going in on the roof, but you know, the original roof was put in 1982, and so that's going forward. And something that we truly can all be proud of happened this month, and quite fitting. You know, we also acknowledge this month as being the 10th anniversary of the death of Dr. Jernigan. And maybe a week, 10 days ago, we finished the installation, finally, of the Wall of Honor for the Jernigan Institute. A beautiful glass engraved wall backlit by fiber optics and beautiful Braille panels to display the names of every individual that contributed at a certain level, the organizations, the foundations that represent the over 18,000 individuals and organizations that made it possible for us to build the only research and training institute developed by blind people, the Jernigan Institute. So congratulations to all of you on that achievement. So next time you come to the Jernigan Institute, please make sure to stop the first floor and check out the beautiful Wall of Honor and the inscription on it. Which leads me to the Jernigan Institute, by the way. you know, I could spend another hour talking just on this piece, but there's a number of great things here on the agenda. So let me just say a couple of things about the Institute. Number one, we're moving very quickly on a lot of things. There's a lot of information going out in a lot of areas that we're working in. One of the most important things that you can do to keep up to date is sign up for our e-newsletter, Imagineering Our Future. And maybe some of you are already getting it. But if you're not, please send an email to jerniganinstitute@nfb.org and say you want to get on our email list. You know, for a year and a half now, maybe 2 years, we've been putting up an internet video series called Straight Talk about Vision Loss. And we're into episode 20 now. We try to do this about every 4 weeks. We also want your homegrown videos for that. If you take digital video at this convention or elsewhere and you want it incorporated, please send it to us and we'll see if we can find a fit to use it. Maybe you create something cool locally about Braille and you want us to include it in a Straight Talk episode. We would love to do that, so please send it along to us. We are working very actively on our Jacobus Ten Broeck Research Library on Blindness at the Jernigan Institute. We are currently in the process of building from the ground up an integrated library system that's fully accessible to a blind patron and a blind librarian. This will be the only library system that we know of that will have full functionality for a blind person working in the library and for a blind person sitting out here in the state of Illinois who wants to see what's actually in the Jacobus Ten Broeck Library collection. We're working very actively on our library archive, and of course our crown jewel of that collection are the Jacobus Ten Broeck papers. Incorporating all of this into our integrated library system and providing ultimately digital access to every piece that's in that library is a huge task, and we're working on building that every day. You may have great periodicals, books about blindness that are just sitting around your house. If you're looking for a place to put them, please call us up. We may not have them in our collection. We're working on building the most comprehensive collection on the non-medical aspects of blindness ever. And we're doing a great job of that, but there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't know about. We also want to start collecting the papers of significant leaders in the blindness field. And so many of them may be leaders from the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, so we'll want to have those as well. This year we had our first law symposium, the Jacobus Ten Broeck Law Symposium, and many of you may have seen the video that we created about Dr. Ten Broeck. If you haven't, it truly represents the great impact that he had on the world, not just on us as blind people. We're going to have another law symposium next spring on April 17th, so please go to our website and see information about that. I mentioned voting earlier, and I do encourage all of you to go out and vote. We have a Help America Vote Act project, and you may remember that 2 years ago, we had a national voting hotline. We're going to do that again this year. If you have problems on Election Day, you can call us up if you need technical assistance about, well, what are my rights? What can I do? What do I tell this gang of five-sided poll workers around me? Now, we can't necessarily send someone out to beat them over the head, but we can answer your questions on the spot. You'll see more information about that. We can also, we're also going to be doing a national survey of the voting experience, the largest survey ever of blind voters to see, what are the barriers to voting? Are blind people voting? Are they not? What are the barriers? Why aren't they voting? Is it the technology? Is it the attitudes of the poll workers? What are the issues? And so if you get a call and someone says, hi, I'm doing a survey with the National Federation of the Blind, please talk to them. You know, there's so much more we can talk about. You've seen some great developments recently in the last month or two around technology and web accessibility. We've had some huge wins, huge wins. Our lawsuit with Target, which was settled. Our release with Apple a couple weeks ago about accessibility of iTunes. Huge, huge win for us. But really, I know what Patty wants me to talk about, is our education programs. And I could really talk about these all day. We truly have, in the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute, in the 5 years, nearly 5 years that we've been in existence, we have engineered a revolution in educating youth in this country who are blind, and you see it across the Federation. You see it in our youth track that we've created at the National Convention, where teens are running around and engaging in the convention. And you see that we've done it at all levels. And now this summer, we had the Junior Science Academy. And every time we do these activities, we even surprise ourselves. You know, we put out the Junior Science Academy. We got 130, over 130 applications for 30 spots. It speaks to how desperate parents of blind children are for something different, something that gives hope, something that empowers their children. And the thing that's doing that is the National Federation of the Blind. And I really commend all of you for getting a whole slew of applicants to us. And we're really proud that we had a number of young people and their parents from the state of Illinois. Last summer, we had our Youth Slam event. Maybe some of you were there. Anybody? Maybe some of you are mentors. Probably the kids that were there are still sleeping. You know, the Youth Slam has energized the National Federation of the Blind in a way that we haven't seen. We're now seeing young kids coming, participating in the Federation, and who came to know about us because of the Youth Slam. Next year, we're going to have another one. We have now forgotten how crazy we thought we were last summer when it was all over. And we're going to have another National Federation of the Blind Youth Slam beginning on July 26th of next year and running through August 1st. 200 blind youth will be coming to the University of Maryland, College Park, for 5 days this year of activities in science, technology, engineering, and math, and mentoring by blind adults. Imagine what it might be like when we have 200 blind youth and their adult role models marching on Capitol Mall in D.C. and having a celebration at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum of the progress that we have made because of the leaders of yesterday, the building we're doing today, and the promise of tomorrow in the National Federation of the Blind. That is truly spectacular. We want all of you to come be a part of it. Please visit blindscience.org to learn more. And I expect, 50, 60 applications from the state of Illinois. So I'm looking forward to that. There's so much more that we're doing. And the way that we do it is through our Imagination Fund.
Yay!
Come on, Imagination Fund. Come on. Got to be some more people out there. I mean, this...
Imagination Fund. Create a future full of opportunity. National Federation of the Blind, Jernigan Institute.
There you go. You know, this truly is a revolution. You know, we have distributed over $635,000 to NFB affiliates since the beginning of the Imagination Fund distribution in 2004. That's fundraising dollars that goes right into the work of this affiliate and our other affiliates across the country, and an equal amount supports the work of the Jernigan Institute. You know, the economy is slowing down, and we really have to bring it back home. The way that people are going to give is when you go to them and say, look, this is really important. I know it's tough, but your $5 will make a big difference. And when you say, are you willing to go to your neighbor and ask them for $5? That is how we are going to sustain the Imagination Fund and the National Federation of the Blind over the next little while. Let's not mince any words about it. Things are tight. That's all we hear in the news every day. That's all the politicians are talking about. And you see it in a lot of ways. We still have a lot of important work to do. And so the Imagination Fund, there's really no more important time than now to work on building the Imagination Fund, because those dollars support our work at the national level and support what the wonderful work and the love that you're creating here in the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. And we hope to celebrate that with you at the 2009 convention in Detroit. Is anybody planning to be there? Yeah. You know, some people, when they hear about Detroit, they say, oh, Detroit. But, you know, and we just heard Kevin Worley's voice. We've been scouting out Detroit, and the Renaissance Center, where the hotel is, and the development around that area is truly spectacular. This is not the Detroit that you have in your mind, that you see on the news and the negative reports. It truly is a beautiful area. The Renaissance Center is wonderful. It's along the Riverwalk. It's accessible to a number of wonderful places. It's not quite as landlocked as the beautiful facilities in Dallas. So on July 3 to 8, next year, we will be in Detroit, and we will have another March for Independence, and we'll be talking about Braille literacy, and our room rates, as usual, are spectacular. $62 for singles, all the way up to $68. You know, that is a bargain. I mean, it's hard to go on a vacation in the middle of nowhere to get a hotel rate that wonderful. And we need you to be there. Because we have a lot of work to do in the National Federation of the Blind on the national scene, and it starts right here. And we need you to come share your expertise, your motivation, your youth empowerment, the love that I've seen at this convention with all of our other affiliates, because you can truly inspire and engage them as well and teach them something. And it's wonderful that you're making this convention available on the internet, but your participation in our national convention will have that same impact tenfold. So that's my report from the national scene. I look forward to the work we're going to do over the next year in the National Federation of the Blind.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How come the mic is lower and you're taller than I am?
I was just lowering it for you.
I'm not that short, Mark. We do announcements through the information table. If you need to send an announcement up front, you see Carmen Dennis. Carmen, talk to me.
Right here.
Okay. In that vein, IABS is selling Chex Mix, water, and raffle tickets. So says Ronza Othman. IABS members who have those items, say something now so people know where you are. Back table. Okay.
T-shirts.
Joe was in the back. Joe has T-shirts. T-shirts say, blindness is not a four-letter word, thanks to the NFB. I love the saying. I think it's cool. It's the bomb, says Ryan Strunk.
That was Mark.
Oh, was that Mark? You switched chairs now.
I'm not cool enough to say something.
You just switched chairs, and I'm all confused. Okay. You know, Ryan came to my attention first at our first annual spring student seminar. And Ryan came as our NABS rep. And those of you that know me know I don't hold back very often. So I saw Ryan, and the first thing I said is, "Where is your tie, dude?" So Ryan's response was, "Where is your skirt, woman?" Because I wear pantsuits. I do have pants on. I do wear pantsuits. And so Ryan and I have had a running joke ever since. Where's your tie? I'm very happy to tell you that Ryan does have a tie on today for his NABS report, probably in honor of me. Thank you very much.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a sacrifice, wasn't it?
You missed out on door prizes. You talk too fast.
I know. I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Fine.
All right, go.
Portable typewriter donated by the Isaacs.
Portable typewriter. Real? Smith, a typewriter?
Smith's Corona portable typewriter.
Wow. I didn't know they still had them.
Yep.
That's cool.
Okay. Anna, let's see. E-I-F-E.
Meyer.
No. Einfeld.
Anna Einfeld from Kankakee Chapter.
Anna Einfeld. Now, I don't think she's here because her husband was ill. Is that true? Okay. Not here.
I had pulled out four, Madam President.
Can I get some water,
Wilson.
Pam, please?
Erica Wilson.
Erica Wilson. I'm going to shoot her. Erica's in trouble.
Walk in, hero. Howard Wilson.
I'll bet he's here. Howard Yay. Wilson, all right.
You want a quick
and you are where you're supposed to be. Good job.
Before Ryan, do you want a quick $25 in cash? From the from the Black Hawk chapter?
Okay.
All right. And that goes to John Chang.
He is not in the room, I'm sure.
He was here this morning, yeah.
This is so not my problem. Drug in.
Well, I know in an hour and a half he'll be working in child care, but I just...
He is supposed to be in child care, but not till 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Guess what? Julia Chang.
Is she here? Okay, they both got drawn.
Oh, man.
You need to shake them up.
Julia might be in child care.
Yeah. Then can somebody see? Because we'll give it to her if she is.
Okay.
If she's somewhere where she's working on a convention, we'll give it to her.
Does she really need child care?
What?
Does she really need child care?
No, she doesn't need child care. She might be helping in child care. She is working. All right, that prize is gone. It goes to Julia. That's the second time my daughter's won a door prize. Okay. Now, I'm going to put Ryan on. I like I say, what? What, Ken? Okay, I'm moving. Ken, I don't have any other announcements through Carmen. I got this one. You put one up here that didn't come. I shall check out the table. I probably missed it. We are going to put Ryan on. I promise to look for your announcement, and I'll find it and read it as soon as I'm done. What was I going to say? I lost track of my thought. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to give you Ryan Strong. Thank you, Ryan, and thank you for judging last night, both of you.
So speaking of judging, Mark, I have to say your performance this morning was... no, I'm kidding. I'm also really happy to hear that this next March for Independence is going to be in a really nice neighborhood. Because a couple... You know, I spoke with a couple of Detroit natives, one of whom is on the NABS board, and we were talking about how we might actually call next year's the Run for Your Life. Mr. Worley didn't like that idea so much, but... I
I bring you greetings from the NAVS board and from Terry Rupp, our president. And I want to say first and foremost that I really appreciate being able to work with you and all of the phenomenal work that's being done here. It's just amazing to see, you know, all of you guys who stayed up till 1:30 in the morning with Idol and then jumped right back up at 7 o'clock. I know that most of you forewent your shower, and we could tell, but hey, it's all in the name of the Federation, so, you know, we appreciate that. But it really, you know, it's really tremendous to see all of the energy and all of the enthusiasm. And especially one of the things that I want to say to all of you, and not just the students, is that, you know, in NABS, we really, really appreciate how much the affiliate works in support of students. You know, so often they sort of hair off in separate directions. And what's been really tremendous to see over the time that I've been here is just how much solidarity there is and how much support you guys have for the up-and-coming students and the youth of this organization. And I think you all need to be commended and give yourselves a round of applause for that. Now, I'll give you just a couple of quick updates about what's going on. If any of you have gone to our website, which is www.nfbstudents.org, you'll notice that there's lots of construction tape and detour signs and men in hard hats on that page. It is still under construction, but we are planning for a launch of January 1st, 2009, of a brand new, slick, ultra-modern, fantastic website. So, instead of counting down to the ball drop and drinking champagne, you might sit in front of your computer and keep clicking refresh. You won't be disappointed. Hey, I might do that. Also, one of the things, you know, we've been working for a while on a handbook to go out as a resource. And this handbook is in the works now, and we're actually producing two separate ones. One of them is going to be more leadership-oriented, and so we're going to be distributing that to presidents and boards, which will give lots of advice on different aspects of running NABS and you know, sort of a manual or some suggestions and advice for up-and-coming presidents or presidents that are looking for fresh ideas. But it's a compilation of all of the collected advice and wisdom of all of you and all of our board and leaders across this country, and we'll definitely let you know when that becomes available. At the same time, we're also looking at producing a handbook for your average Joe Sixpack college student. And sorry, it's just so fun. For, you know, if you have questions about how to work with professors, how to get adaptations made, what you can expect to get or not get out of Disabled Student Services Office, and all sorts of other questions that you might have as pertains to being a college student is going to be in that handbook as well. So we're taking the existing project and sort of dividing it in half, and we think it's going to be a really great resource. Also, in the spirit of all that communication and networking and all that fun stuff, we're going to be holding another student seminar in March. Some of you may have been to the one that we held 2 years ago in Baltimore. It was a great, green, fun seminar, and we're going to be doing it again this year. If you're interested in that, definitely contact Terry Rupp. It promises to be a really enlightening opportunity. We have some great networking opportunities, and we learn a lot about how to run the divisions, what sorts of things we can do to fundraise, what sorts of things we can do to advocate, what sorts of things we can do to really spread the message of our organization around. So check that out. It's going to be March of this year. The last thing I want to mention to you, of course, Washington Seminar is right around the corner, as you already know, and we will be holding again our annual student seminar at Washington Seminar. And that, again, is another great opportunity to find out what's going on around the country and to network with several hundred blind students. So make plans to attend that as part of your Washington seminar, and it promises to be a good time. And now, because I know that we have a good thing going by being ahead of schedule, I'm going to yield the floor back to Madam President. But thank you again, everyone, for all of your hard work. Thank you for having me back, and I look forward to the rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Ryan. Ken, I did find your announcement. I'm not sure why I missed it. It could be because white on white, and I didn't know it was there. Definitely didn't see it, sorry. If you can, when you bring me announcements, if they can throw them on the podium, I can't possibly miss that. Okay? We have a very special fundraising event this weekend I want to talk to you about for just a minute. Nikki, where are you? Okay. Those of you who were at the senior seminar yesterday were able to see an Afghan crocheted by Nikki. This Afghan, it's absolutely gorgeous. I stood there for like 10 minutes checking this out. There are red roses, and it has a white background. Anyway, it is back by Carmen. We're going to do a silent auction of the Afghan throughout the convention. Now, Carmen has a sheet, so you go and put your name on and your bid. What did we decide, Carmen, the minimum bid was for the Afghan? $50. That's minimum, guys. So don't even try below that. Not happening. We're not giving enough for anything less than that. It should go for considerably more than that, candidly. Thank you to Nikki for donating it, and you can see Carmen to start the bids. Carmen, as you see the bids go up, send me a note, and I'll tell people where they're at periodically. Okay. Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, Kelly.
This
microphone.
I don't know where a walking mic is. Do we have a phone?
It's on.
She's got it in her hand.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
This ties in with fundraising. I need some help from some Chicago members. Is my memory going, or did I remember that it was voted that the Chicago chapter would give money at 15 for funds? Did anyone miss a donation? Did anybody hear a donation from Chicago chapter?
No. How about we do it now?
Yeah.
Debbie, Carmen, one of you?
Debbie and Carmen. And Carmen didn't say Debbie, no. No. The board, the Chicago board, who pledged, because they don't have a checkbook with me,
$1,000. Okay.
Yay!
Okay. So we now have $5,220.
Oh, wow.
You just went up. 5,220, is that what you said?
5,228.
Wow. 5,228. 5,228. That's really incredible. 5,228. You realize that that's like 4 scholarships. It can be 3 internships. We can bring 3 families to convention. Wow. Thank you. Thanks to everybody. The Candy King is for sale. I swear it says that. The Candy King is for sale. Or at least his candy is. For further details, see Ken Staley. I'll bid 5, Ken. All right. I need Cassandra Sorteza and Araceli Avina to make their way to the front. Have we got a bid on the Afghan yet? Do I have to come clear back there to make one?
Yeah.
I have
Norm
Hines.
Madam Chairman.
All right. Alan.
The Goodmans are going to raise their pledge to 35. All right.
You can raise your pledge to 35 to even out our numbers. Thank you very much. We have 5230. Glickmans are raising their pledge to 35. That gives us $5,230. Cassandra and Araceli are making their way up front. I want to talk to you about a program that is really near and dear to my heart because I think it's very important. I don't quite remember how this started, but I know a lot of us were sitting around and discussing employment issues for the blind and why we might have some trouble with employment. One of the things that came up was it's really hard sometimes to get that first job or the first job in your field on your resume. You know, people don't want to give you that first chance. Once you got the reference, it's easier. But people don't want to give you that first opportunity. So we thought, well, you know, we give out scholarships, and that's a really important program, but is there a way that we can help people get the first job on their resume or get that first job in their field? And we thought, well, you know, there's no reason we can't fund some kind of internship. This is the second year we've done these internships. The process goes through the scholarship committee. They apply just like they do for a scholarship. They indicate that they're looking for an internship. And the scholarship committee selects candidates. The process is a little more involved during the internship, though. We do require periodic reports, and someone is assigned to extensively mentor our interns as they're going through the process to help them deal with all kinds of issues, particularly if blindness issues are coming up. This year, we awarded two internships, and both of those recipients are with us, I'm very pleased to say. So I'm going to put them on. I'm going to ask both of them to talk to you for 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll take questions for whatever time I have on the agenda. So without further ado, I think I put Cassandra on the agenda first. So Cassandra, she'll talk to you first. Are you up here? Come on. The mic is right here. Okay, and you can put the paper on the podium.
How long am I supposed to talk?
10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, this is the open.
Hi.
Hi.
I know most of you are asleep, sort of about falling asleep. I don't know if my speech will be interesting to every one of you, but so far I will try to, you know, give an update about my internship this summer. I will divide my report into four parts. First, I will talk about my internship experience. Second and third is going to be linked together, the challenges that I faced while doing that internship, how my sight affected the job, and fourth is what I learned so far. To give an overview, the internship was for 7 weeks. I started working from the second week of June until the first week of August at Summit Learning Center. And it involved working in three different classrooms. Most of the kids there have multiple disabilities. They're there for an intervention. And I liked their staff there because they were very, very encouraging. They never treated me differently. I let them know from the first that I have a visual problem, and they're good with it. Let's see here. Oh, age range. I work with two-year-olds. That was, that's really fun. 3 to 5 years old. The first classroom I worked with were composed of, like, you know, 4 and 5 year olds. Their classroom is more structured, more you know, concept-based. Since it was summer, they didn't want to focus on anything, so their concept was rainforest. The second also has a concept, and the third classroom is just two-year-olds. It was unstructured, meaning that it just didn't have to do anything. Like, they were just there to play, and they were just there for circle time and, well, to play again outside. You know, two-year-olds, they don't know anything. They just play. let's see here. The task that I did a lot. I helped them clean. I helped the staff members clean up. I made sure that, you know, the children weren't fighting. What else did I do there? I tried to teach them a few concepts, but some of those kids there have mental delays, and you know, some of them even have cerebral palsy, Asperger syndromes. They have various disabilities, so it was kind of hard for me to teach them. And I also like feed them snacks and, you know, teach them how to share and like take turns. Oh, let's see. Second, all right, I'll go to the second part of my report, would be the challenges. Reading time, they basically read different stories and everything. I mean, I was able to read, like, I was able to finish a book. The problem was I want to know if the children are paying attention to me. So instead of, you know, reading the book close to me, basically I decided to just do different strategies because, you know, I want to make sure that they're paying attention to me. First of all, I would ask questions about the book, like even though they could just describe it to me. And the other strategies that I did there is, let's see. All right. I asked them, I want them to tell the story for me, since like it's not me for being lazy or anything. I just want to know if they're paying attention. Some of them told the story in a different way, which is really good. Like some of them don't know how to read. So basically they just look at the pictures and flip through the pages. Some other challenges that I face, like there's lots of kids in there, and some of them are developed differently, and some of them are more smarter and everything. And one of the kids there were like, "Oh, why do you read really close to the book? Are you blind?" And I'm like, "Yes, I have a problem seeing and everything." And she's like, "Oh, then how could you see and everything?" And I'm like, "I could see with one eye." And I told her about the fake eye, and she became so curious about it. She almost poked me, and it was kind of hard to work with her because she was being kind of a bully. I mean, she knows better, you know, what to do and what not to do, but sometimes she just this, you know, she just doesn't want to follow instructions. But other than those challenges, you know, some kids there they don't listen, and you don't know whether to yell or to scream because there's hidden cameras in their rooms, and you don't know. You don't know which parents are watching each day, and you don't want to be fired or anything, and you don't want to, you know, be fired for verbal or physical abuse. But sometimes it just really gets to you when they do certain things. Okay. Let's see. What's happening? Okay. What I learned would be probably my last. I learned a lot, but most of what I learned is like constructive criticism. You know, the staff there, they're very, very open. You know, they're like, "Oh, you know, if you did something wrong, you know, feel free, you know, to, you know, if you don't think you don't know what you're doing, just ask us questions, you know." They gave me lots of feedback. First week and second week, they told me what's wrong. You know, sometimes they kind of notice you were like, you know, you don't know, but you're sort of sleeping during your work and everything. And, you know, the kids don't like that. You're not paying attention. And then some of the teachers told me that I have to be more assertive, that I have to tell the child that, you know, I'm older than you and I'm one of the staff members here. Because most of the time there, I was so lenient to them, so that the kids there got really used to me, and they would, like, ask help basically for everything. Oh, help me do this, help me do that. And some kids, they even get jealous when, you know, I help some other kids. I mean, it was really fun, you know, pushing cars, playgrounds, you know, it was like being a child again. But for the most part, though, I got a lot from the internship because it taught me to be a more disciplined person. You know, sometimes I have problems time management. I know it was summer and everything, but, you know, I have to wake up early every day. There's just some days that, you know, you enjoy being there because, you know, they are so cute and, you know, you like, you know, children, you know how they are. But there's just some days that, you know, I'd rather just go home and just give up because it's just really... It's really frustrating because, you know, sometimes even though no matter how hard you try to let them understand something, they don't. But pretty much in general, it's a good experience. And, you know, I'm glad that I went through the 7 weeks. I really got a lot out of it. As far as my major goes, I'm still determined to be a special ed major. But I'm not limiting my field to vision. I think after... taking that internship, I think, you know, I'm in general, like, I want to be a special ed teacher, not only for vision, but for all types of learning disabilities. Vision, I really wanted to help blind people and everything, and I would admit that I was narrow about it, but that internship, like, you know, made me realize that there's lots of, you know, options out there that, you know, I could take, and I think that's about it. If you want to know more questions, just feel free to ask.
All right, Cassandra, don't disappear.
We're going to take questions at the end. Oops, why? I'm losing my microphone.
Why?
Because I said so. You heard my mantra, that is so not my problem?
Yeah.
Have a seat. Love you. Have a seat. you know, when I'm listening to Cassandra, I'm thinking, you know, this is an opportunity that... blind kids don't always have, and I guess I shouldn't say kids, these are college students. From my point of view, they're kids. But, you know, just to even explore, what is it I really want to do, okay? To be able to go in somewhere and decide, hey, you know what, this is, I want to broaden my horizons. No, I hate this, whatever it is. We don't get the same opportunities to explore as sighted students do, and that's what these externships and internships do. Now, is there a Sally up here?
I am up here.
Okay, come forth to me. Now, Araceli had a totally different placement, and I have to tell you from the beginning, I was beginning to wonder if Araceli was going to get placed. Huh? Come this way, Araceli. I'm sorry, the mics are hard to hear. Come towards me. Right here, girl. Okay. I have to tell you, it took Araceli a while to decide her placement, to find her placement. I was beginning to wonder if we were going to place her. But it was well worth the wait. Araceli, your podium's in front of you. Mic's on your left. I'm going to get this agenda out of your way, and it's your turn.
Okay. All right. My name is Araceli Avina, and I'm an FBI internship winner. And I think I should start by not with the internship, because it really starts out with the National Federation of the Blind that I came to the opportunity of winning this internship. A year ago, around the summer of '07, I should say. Summers have always been very hard for me because I don't like being away from school. Well, I didn't like being away from school when I was in high school, when I was in middle school or elementary school. And all of a sudden, I found myself graduated from ISBI, and in my current legal situation, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? I'm thrown out into the world and into what they call the mean and cruel world, and I'm expected to be something. I'm expected to make something of myself, and I didn't know what to do. But instead of looking for things to do in 05, I just contented myself, like, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. Now, I had some friends that said, if you really want something, you're going to go out and get it. But until you go out and find it, nothing's going to come to the door and knock on it and say, I'm here. If you really want something, you'll go out and find it. And if you are not looking hard enough, then you don't want it. You don't want it hard enough. So I started thinking about that in 07, which was probably one of the most depressing summers, because I was like, well, what can I do now? I'm not allowed to do anything at home. I'm not allowed to go out and do any traveling. I don't feel comfortable doing any traveling. And I'm not being helped out at home with independence and all that sort. So I went to the Hanover Township, which is where I live. I live in Hanover Park, in the southwestern suburbs, by Elgin and all those places. So I went in search of a counselor, and I decided to pay her myself out of money allowances that I get now and then, like maybe $10 a week or something. And it turned out to be pretty good because she charged me $2 a session. Now, every session, the sessions were once a week, but she told me if I had to do more than one session, it would be, the price would be less. So it would be $2 for one session, and then if I had to do another session that same week, it would be $1.50, until I got my free session, but I never got to that, so that's out of the question. I had heard about the National Federation of the Blind since I was in Colorado. I lived in Colorado from 2000 to 2003. I went to Broomfield High School there for 3 years until I moved back here to Illinois in 2003. I had already lived here in Illinois and gone to high school here at Elk Grove High School from 1998 to 2000. When I came back here after Colorado, I didn't know what to do again. So they took me back for a year at Elk Grove High School. At the end of that year, my IEP meeting came, my annual review, as they called it, and the special ed director there decided I should go to ISBI for independent living skills. I agreed, and we started the process for signing me up to go to that. At the beginning, that was very hard to start out with. Not because I was going away or anything, because I was excited to be going away from the house and doing something that would be interesting and doing something on my own and learning from people that I knew would take me into account and know that I could do something. So I started there, and I went there for a year in the fall of 04. And so then when I graduated from my SVI, I didn't know what to do. And that's where the counselor came into the picture in 07. So when I finally got tired of sitting around at home thinking, what am I going to do? I want to have a career. I want to have a job someday, and my legal situation does not allow me right now, and I don't know how I'm going to ever get there. And I don't want to be in this situation forever, stuck at home, living at home and relying on other people to do things for me. I didn't want that. That's probably one of the worst fears that I had and still have. But it's getting better now that I'm going out. So I looked up the NFB again, and I signed up for one of their internships and their scholarships. And I was fortunate enough to receive the internship. Now came another hardship because of my Social Security. I couldn't work just anywhere. I had to find places that would accept me, people that knew me, that knew what I was about, so that they would accept me and they would help me out and not throw me to the wolves, so to speak. At the time, I was going to a Lutheran church because I belonged to the Salvation Army Church at the time, and we were sharing the space with a Lutheran church. So the pastor there agreed to help me search for something, you know, that would accept me to be able to do my internship. It was very difficult because people didn't know what I could do. And a lot of the times I felt very frustrated because I felt that I wasn't given enough of a chance or an opportunity by other people that hadn't been as well educated about blindness as others. So it was a very rocky thing. And I want to be a child psychologist. And so the NFB says, oh, you have to do something to do with kids. Now, that was harder, not having a Social Security, because they make background checks. And that's very important if you're working with kids. They want to make sure that you're not going to hurt them or that you're not a child molester or something like that. So I felt very unsure about myself with all those things going on. And then schedule changes kept occurring, and transportation issues kept arising, and all that crazy stuff. But I'm glad to say that through all that, people in the NFBI and NFB have been very supportive. Some of which are, to mention, are Debbie Stein, who really helped me get started with it, because she was always being very supportive, saying that she wanted this to happen for me, and the best way to make it work. And Kelly Doty also helped me out, and Carmen was there as well for advice and telling me what to do and telling me not to quit, especially. So yeah, she told me not to quit, but I'm not normally a quitter, so that came pretty easy, not that hard. When I started my internship, we started with a vacation Bible school with kids that were 2 and 3 years of age. Again, I found myself running into people that didn't exactly know what I was there for. I found myself setting up chairs and tables and not really working out with kids, and then I felt like the pastor just threw me out and into the limelight, so to speak, and said, hey, go out and talk to those kids. Well, what do I talk to them about? What do I say? They're like 2 and 3 years old, and I haven't dealt with 2 and 3 year olds since like 8 years or something, you know? And but somehow I developed a good relationship with them, and I helped some of them on the swings during their vacation Bible school break. I had to help one the first time because he was, for some reason, undressing himself in the church. And so I had to keep him from doing that. And, you know, the good thing was that I was sitting next to him and realized that soon enough before the rest of them noticed it. And I was like, wait, what are you doing here? Like, you know. And so that was it. And the rest of that week consisted of, you know, picking up their toys after them, helping them stay engaged with play and stories and movies and things, and, you know, and explaining things to them. But it was very difficult because half the time I didn't know what to do or where to go. And the other program that we had was at the Lutheran church where there were older kids, and that was every Tuesday from 1 to 3. And there I didn't have much to do either, so I felt more frustrated because they already had a program going, and it was not right for me to come in and disturb it all of a sudden. And I tried to explain that I was doing an internship, and people, I don't know, just didn't take me seriously or something. But I think that also my hours, because of that, also my hours of experience suffered for it. And again, the members of the NFBI Chicago chapter helped out with that once again because they helped me with a seventh week. And it was supposed to be normally a six-week internship, but they were kind enough to accept me for a seventh week. And so I think what I learned from this internship and this experience is that I can't just I can't just sit back and let people step all over me. I have to do something if I want to stay away from being a statistic or something, you know, because I've heard so many stories about other people with disabilities not wanting to do what's best for them, mm-hmm. wanting to just stay at home and do nothing and have everything done for them. That's kind of frightening. So, yeah, that's what I learned from the experience. And thank you for letting me do the speech and for being patient.
No, stay where you are. Stay where you are. All right. Is this other mic live? Okay. Araceli, if you stay where you are, I'm going to give this mic to Cassandra, and we can take questions. I don't know where the mic is in the audience, but I'm told that there is one.
Cassandra, there's yours. You stay with the mic.
Hi, I'm here again.
When you take the questions, can you repeat them or something?
Yeah, I can.
Dave, you're waiting for a mic, and I'm going to repeat the question so that we can make sure everybody can hear.
I have a question for both Cassandra and Araceli. What is the most important thing that each of you learned about yourselves as a result of the internship?
What is the most important thing you learned about yourself from the internship? And I guess I'll start this one with Araceli.
The most important thing that I learned about myself is that I'm not a quitter, and I don't know how to quit. And so,
wow, that's wow. Wow, that's huge.
I would have given up that internship probably with all the frustrations halfway through the period, and I didn't do it, and I'm pretty darn proud of myself for it.
And I have to say that the mentors take some credit for that too, because
with all of this mentoring, sometimes it takes a little tough love. I mean, you heard me with Cassandra. Too bad. Have a seat. Love you, but. And I do say that, and so do all the other mentors. I mean, you know, we have to have high expectations because sometimes the world does not expect. And that's what Araceli encountered when people wanted to put her in the corner to not do anything. People have low expectations. So, Cassandra, I'm giving you a chance at the same question, okay?
I think from this internship, oh, by the way, I forgot to say thanks to the NFV for that internship. If you want to know, most of the money went to NIU, so there you go. Okay, what I learned is being more assertive and, you know, how honesty could help out. First of all, if I'm not assertive, I'm not going to learn from anything. If I allowed all the staff members to, because I'm not usually the type of person who, you know, will exert an extra mile, but I did so many things in this internship. Like I was like, hey, could I help with something? Is this kid needs any assistance? And I would go out of my way to do something extra. Like, for instance, I know that I was leaving. I was on my sixth week, and my 7 week is going to be the following week. I know, like, one of the kids that I was working with, her birthday is going to be next week. Since I am not going to be there that Monday, I made a card for her. And
oh, awesome.
Yeah, she's really cute and spoiled. And sometimes she irritates me because it's really hard to discipline her. But I learned so many things from her by just working with her. Like, I learned that, you know, not everyone, you know, will learn the same way. Like, not everything that works for, you know, one child will work for another. And there's, like, lots of different strategies that could be applied to, you know, work for, you know, each individual. And what else? The other thing that I learned is, you know, constructive criticism. If someone tells you, oh, you're doing something wrong, sometimes people take it, oh, you're mean, you're being like this, oh, you're not my friend anymore. You know, they're just being honest because they want you to do your job better, and they don't want you to repeat the same mistakes again. So I think the staff there were kind enough to be more, you know, honest with me about, you know, how they want the job done. I mean, it's not only looking out for me, they're also looking out for the children there. And they don't want, you know, some, you know, miscommunications. They don't want something wrong that, you know, that goes on in there. So I think, you know, them being honest with me helped me out in how I, you know, work with the kids and the staff, and it was really helpful.
I'm going to take one more question. And Raven, can you make your way up to the podium, please? One more.
Madam Chair.
Denise? I think that's who I'm hearing.
Yeah,
I have a question to both of you. Now that you have completed your internship, do you have a better idea of what you want to do and how you want to go about accomplishing your goal?
Now that you've completed the internship, do you have a better idea of where you want to go and how you're going to accomplish the goal? I'm going to start with Cassandra this time.
I think, you know, the NFP giving me an opportunity to be in that internship, they gave me a chance of what it feels like to, you know, work and, you know, have a work experience as far as dealing with children. And I find out myself that I was not interested in working with children. I want to work with high school students. Before I started education, I wanted to work with, doesn't matter to me what age it was, as long as it's in the field of education. It made my options more specific. And after that internship, you know, like what I said earlier from my report, like I'm not narrow anymore about my options. I don't care if it's, you know, if it's other disabilities. I'm all right to work with it. Now I'm a little more comfortable because of that internship, because there's so many kids there that have different disabilities, like they have mental processing, Asperger's, like cerebral palsy, and some of them, like, unintentionally would do things that you would get annoyed. Some of the kids there would scream at your face, and you don't know how to react to some of those. But it's not their fault that, you know, they have, you know, mental problems. But right now, after that internship, I think it made me more realistic to where I'm going. As far as special education, I'm still determined to go for that field, and yeah, I'm open to new ideas about what to do with, you know, regards to education. Right.
Pass that mic this way to Araceli.
I would still like to become a child psychologist. I realize I have a long way to go to accomplish that. But I would like to continue on, hopefully, to an independent living center, like one of the NFB centers. I'm looking into that. But also, I want to see what I can do about my legal situation on my own, because everyone's telling me, oh, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, and it's driving me crazy not doing nothing, because I have to do something. So I have to get, I have to start the ball rolling somewhere. And I want to, after that, continue on to a university, because that's been one of my biggest dreams to accomplish. And I think I can do it.
We know you can do it.
Yeah.
We know you can do it. I think I lost my podium mic. Hang on. No, I. You know what? They're going to be here the whole convention, and I've got to move, because if we don't, we won't be able to keep on track for the streaming for the other events.
Surprise.
Go ahead, Leanne.
Indoor, outdoor, coffee thermometer goes to.
Araceli and Cassandra, can we give them a hand? They did a really good job.
K-W-A-K? Ray Kwok, are you in the room?
Ray Kwok. Nope, go again.
Alrighty.
Make sure my name is in
there. Well, guess what? Debbie Pittman!
I didn't catch who that was, but obviously they're here. Huh? Alright. Now, I'm going to tell you something that impresses me about this next speaker, and he's done it more than once now, okay? First of all, when I contacted Raven Pulliam to see if he'd come to convention, his answer was, of course I'll be there. Assuming my job lets me come, I'll be there. Now, he doesn't just low in just before his speech. He knew when he'd be on the podium. And the last time he came, he stayed too. He's been here since before the breakfast, and he's still here, and every time he comes, I take note of that, because that means that he cares enough to be here and listen to what's important to the blindness community generally. Now, I'm going to put Raven on, and he's also substituting for Betty Odom Davis, who couldn't be here. Betty had some health issues. And then we'll take a couple questions at the end, but I really am highly motivated to try and stay on schedule. All right, Leanne, do another one. Quickly.
Oh, mine's in there.
I hope so too, Joe. We have a cordless screwdriver, and along with the cordless screwdriver is a single...
Cordless screwdriver. I'll pass on that one.
Well, but that's not all through the bag.
The stuffed animal.
Oh, okay. What is that?
Singing pig.
Thomas Boyer.
Thomas Boyer.
Give camp.
That's it.
All right.
Raven Pulliam.
You guys are here expecting to hear somebody that is a state bureaucrat. You're wrong. Because... actually, I've been I've been a chef all my life up until this year. I'm from the food service industry. I'm not a state bureaucrat. So I'm not, I guess, involved in this program just to get a check. I am here because I care for my vendors, and I care for blindness issues. So I just wanted to get that out first so somebody can say, well, we had a state bureaucrat at our convention. His name was Raven Pulliam. You're dead wrong. I'd like to acknowledge a few of my vendors that are here. We have Mary Lou Grinwald in the back. Marco Giannotti. And forgive me if I say the name wrong, because I've heard that name pronounced so many different ways, but I'm going to try it. Nikki Natajima. Did I get it wrong?
I didn't even try.
It was right?
I didn't even try.
Okay. So, Nikki, could you tell me how to say it?
Nataya
Itajima. Nataya Itajima. Is that right? Okay, good. I won't get it. I won't forget it ever again. Okay. Let me adjust this a little bit. Okay. It's my pleasure to be here, and as Patty had mentioned earlier, that Betty Odom Davis is not here today. She has not been to work for the last 3 weeks. She had what I guess the doctors call a mini stroke, but there are no side effects from it. The only thing that's wrong with her is her blood pressure cannot be regulated. She actually is probably at the doctor's office right now, because I talked to her yesterday. She is going to hopefully be released today to be at work Monday. So keep her in your thoughts and prayers. The reason that this business enterprise program actually is in existence is because of the Randolph-Shepard Act. It was signed in June of 1936. It was started by a guy by the name of Jennings Randolph and Morris Shepard. And it was a guy by the name of Leonard Robertson encouraged Senator Randolph to develop it. The story behind Leonard is he was one of those people that badgered people, kind of like you guys. You know, a lot of times you cannot get anything done unless you want to speak up, and if people don't listen, you just speak a little louder. And I think that's what you guys do, correct? Okay. So Leonard was like that. He was born sighted, but at the age of 7, he was shot in the eye with a BB gun. And then at the age of 11, he got hit with a rock in his other eye. So that made him totally blind. And both of these two incidents were done by friends of his. So with friends like that, who needs enemies? What the act established was priority for vocational blind state programs to run a cigarette or a newspaper stand or a combination of both. It was basically in federal court buildings, anything to do with federal buildings. Basically, we had priority in there. But like I said, it was only cigarette stands because back then smoking was big, and also just newspaper stands, little gifts, really nothing that was really substantial. In 1954, Vocational Rehabilitation Act was amended to provide additional funding for blind programs, and that kind of kicked things off as far as providing the correct amount of funding to make sure that this program flies. In 1958, Illinois had 63 stands, 63 operators, with an average income of, get this, $3,786 per year. It was actually lower than the average American income, which was $4,650. Can I get just a guess on how much you think the price of a gallon of gas was back then? Just one guess. You guys are exactly right. You guys deserve a door prize. The cheapest food. What now?
Tell her to
draw.
$25 for the Four Rivers chapter.
And this goes to Pat Olson.
All right.
He's here.
Pat Olson's here. Good deal.
Which one? Him or her?
He said Pat.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
And the cheapest Ford was sold for $1,967. Can anybody guess the price of a postage stamp? Whoever said four, you're absolutely right. Door prize.
$20 for the Kankakee chapter.
All right, and this goes to Nellie Gambino.
Child care, I know.
Working child care.
All right. In 1968, Illinois had 83 stands with 83 operators, average income of $6,408 per year. The average American income was $7,850. The price of gas was how much?
25 cents.
50.
39.
No.
In the 30s.
It was in 68. 34 cents. Nobody got that right, so there's no door prize. Can anybody guess how much minimum wage was per hour? $1.60. Door prize.
Okay, we got a bag of stuff here. All different kitchen items.
And that goes to Don Gilmore.
Not in the room.
Not here.
Again. Okay. Lily Diego.
Hey, Lily.
All right. In 1972, Illinois had 87 stands with 84 operators. But later, the following year, we had 100 stands and 100 operators with the average income of $8,904. The American income per year was $12,900. That's a serious difference. The price of gas was how much?
39 cents.
How about this? It was real close. He says 39. It was actually 40 cents. Door prize time.
Combination bag here.
Do we still have door prizes?
Oh, you bet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll keep on going.
All right. Mark Riccobono.
Hey. All right.
Can anybody give me the answer to the price of a dozen eggs in 1972?
39
cents.
45.
No.
35.
No.
30.
No.
20.
No.
30.
How about 45 cents?
I said 45.
Oh, you said 45. I'm sorry. Door prize.
Okay, I forgot. I forgot what this thing is, but it's the thing where you you find people with
door prizes.
What do you call that thing, Byron? That search for thing?
Oh, the directional finder.
Directional finder, right.
Ooh, and that goes to Ken Staley.
who never knows which way he's going.
In 1974, the Randolph-Shepard Act was amended to change the wording a little bit from stand to facility.
And that opened up the door to a lot of different other avenues and where we could actually run our businesses. First, we were into just the stands, and then we made an avenue to go into snack bars, cafeterias, and then gift shops. In 1975, there was a House bill passed called a Little Randolph Shepherd for Illinois. A lot of different states have, they acknowledge the Randolph Shepherd Act, but what states do is they try to do Little Randolph Shepherd Acts. An example, the bill that we heard someone talking about at the beginning of the day, that is what some of us would call a Little Randolph Shepherd Act. It basically provides a way for us to get into state buildings. And right now, we really don't have... the wording is very strange. It's like, even if you say priority, a lot of people can interpret that as not priority. Or if you say preference, it's not the correct wording. The wording should be right. We should have the right to have our facilities at all state businesses. And that's the way it should be. And because of the way that politicians play back and forth, it seems like some of these bills just get watered down, and that's what's happened over the years, is our bills have been watered down, and hopefully this one will not be watered down, and it will stay kind of strong. Our program started reducing the number of standalone facilities and consolidating in 1998. And in 2000, that's actually when I was a part of the program previously, we started the reduction of the snack bars and cafeterias. The snack bars and cafeterias, there are a lot of labor involved. The profit margin isn't as great as in all vending. And what we tried our best to do is think smarter and work less. A blind manager has a difficult time enough running his business. Why throw in a whole bunch of employees? I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth. Am I right, Marco?
Yeah, I'd say.
Okay. Well, so that's what we started to do. So we actually lost some facilities, and we consolidated. But what we did was create a better average earning salary for our blind managers. So after I said that, let me tell you what's happening, basically what happened last year. In 2007, the U.S. household income was $46,000 a year. Our program average is, some people can debate, some people say 52, some people say 55. But regardless, it's over what the national average for an American house, well, an American learning is. It is the third highest in the nation, and it is the highest average earning of any state that does not have a military mass dining facility, meaning like hopefully Great Lakes in the future. But most of these large, you've got some in, I believe, Texas, you've got some in Florida. What they do is they have military dining contracts where everybody on the base eats in a mess hall, and it's mass feeding, thousands and thousands of people a day. And you have a blind manager that actually operates that, and he makes a ton of money. So what I'm saying is, when you have one person that makes that big amount, it kind of skews how much everybody else is making. And it doesn't skew it here in Illinois, so I'm proud of that. We actually have five vendors in the state of Illinois that make over $100,000 a year. That's another thing I'm proud of. Now, you might say, what I need to be a part of this program, right?
2 minute mark.
Excuse me?
2 minute mark.
Okay, I got 2 minutes. It's not for everybody. You have to be business minded. You have to know your math. You have to know how to deal with people, because it is very important that you are success. And if you're not any good, I'm going to kick you out. We have several things that are coming down the pike that I'm excited about. We have postal substations that we were granted. Well, we signed an agreement with the postal people that basically stated that we would have all rights to all the postal substations throughout the whole state of Illinois. We're getting ready to pursue one company that would try to basically service just about all of them. And we're working on that, at least I'm presently working on that right now. I just dropped off a contract to Jim Kestelute yesterday at the Lighthouse regarding a marketing and development contract that would enable us to get into the private sector. What I've been talking about is the public sector, meaning government and state. One thing that we haven't been able to do is tap into the private sector. And I'm not saying that everything in our program is great, but what I see for the future is very promising. We've got the postal stop stations. We've got the Lighthouse contract that would get us into the private entities. And I see a bright future. Now, you might think that this guy cited what why is he so passionate about what he does? I'm going to tell you guys. My mother is blind in one eye. The other eye, she can barely see out of. So that's why I'm so passionate about blind issues. I want to thank you for having me here. Bye-bye.
We are going to take a couple questions, and then people, don't leave the room because we're working on something special. I don't know if I can pull it off, but don't leave the room. We've got Debbie Pittman. Somebody got a mic for him? Are we walking? Okay, thank you. I'm just making sure.
Are there any plans to get blind vending in some of the Concedon locations?
We haven't investigated that. That's also private. So we would have to, if you know somebody, let me have a name. I'll pursue it. Seriously. But that is private. It's not public. We don't have rights for it. But all we need is just a connection. And if we have a connection, I'm definitely going to pursue it. Yes.
Mary
yes.
Grunwald.
Be easy on me.
First of all, Raven, I personally would like to thank you very much for attending our convention. And I hope that we're going to give you some knowledge to take away as well as the information that you're giving us.
You have already.
Okay, great. My question is, a lot of times, at least when I was on the committee, we would have like these retreats where we would sit down and work out with the staff and with the director 5-year plans.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of the information either got lost or in the shuffle or buried somewhere. I'm asking you, what if you had to think about this right now, what would be your 5-year plan for this program? What would be some ideas that you would want to go 5 years out? Thank you.
5 years out. What the first thing I'd like to do is we only have a 1-year contract with the Lighthouse to try to secure private facilities for us. I'd like to extend that and keep that going because they have a lot of corporate connections that would allow us to be in so many different arenas, and I guess a lot of the banks and a lot of different large buildings downtown. But as far as 5 years go, I've been into this for 10 months. Give me another 3 months and then I'll figure it out. Because to be honest with you, There has not been an administrator in my position for, it was close to 2 years. And the people that were there previous, I'm kind of, I guess, I'm trying to do this diplomatically. I'm trying to fix a lot of things that were broken presently. Until I get those things fixed, I can't look at a plan because I'm still fixing things that were broke for the last 2 years. You understand where I'm coming from? You know exactly what I'm talking about, Mary, right? Okay. All right. And a lot of it has to do with establishing a rapport and also building confidence back with the state.
Raven, are you staying for lunch?
Yes.
Okay. Raven will be with us for lunch. I thought he had told me before he would be. I can take one more quick one. But I don't know who I is.
I'm Rick Parrish.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Which one is it?
Who got it first? I couldn't tell. Okay. Rick. I also don't think I have a live mic doing.
I actually have a couple. Is it on? Okay.
Okay.
The law really should have said first right of refusal.
Exactly.
And the other thing is that when I was State Director of Services for the Blind Indiana, we had that wording, and we took the prisons and gave them to blind vendors. So those are really good money makers that you need to go after.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yep. That would be a good idea. Raven, thank you for being with us. Thank you for distributing so many of those door prizes for me. Appreciate that. Save me time. Now, we're going to clear this room, and we're going to do lunch, and I'm going to...
I still have three for this morning.
Well, do I need... I need to say no, Leanne, because we've got to move the streaming equipment. If we don't have to stream it, fine. Break down the sound equipment and do the three door prizes.
Body wash, shower, Gibson.
Yeah.
Joe Monty.
I need it.
Next, we have some games, a game called Squares donated by the Isaacs, and a silver clock donated by the Isaacs.
Debbie Stein.
I'm here.
Okay. And my last door prize of the morning is a $25 Old Country Buffet gift card.
Ooh. Yeah. Gary Johnston.
Not here.
All right. Okay. Ryan Strunk.
Is here.